back again with John MacArthur in the Grace to You audio blog. If you haven't heard, there's a discussion underway at gty.org. When John is done, get the info on how to get involved.
I read a couple of books by a man named Dr. A.E. Wilder Smith. He's a scientist. I read his book from cover to cover called The Scientific Alternative to Neo-Darwinian Evolutionary Theory. A.E. Wilder Smith, in this book, demonstrates the absurdity of evolution on the basis of one great reality: the encoded information in the DNA of living organisms. Did you get that? Every living organism has in it DNA. DNA is genetic material. And on that genetic material, in every living thing, is a code. And that is an operative code. And that living organism, whether you're talking about a cell or whether you're talking about a large man and everything in between, is dependent on that encoded information. And listen to this. Every different living thing has a completely different code. Darwin had no clue about that. He didn't know anything about DNA. He didn't know anything about chromosomes. He didn't know anything about genetics. That didn't exist as a science. He was just describing what he thought he was seeing. It was all according to appearance and nothing more. And if Darwin had been alive today and tried to sell his deal today, it never would fly. He wouldn't even believe it. He barely believed his own view. He certainly wouldn't have believed it in a day like ours, when we have this incredible ability to go with an electron microscope into the DNA and see the encoded information in living organisms. The entire realm of genetics, Wilder Smith points out, is all about information storage and retrieval. It was totally unknown to Darwin. It has been discovered that the genetic programs of, say, higher biological organisms consists of about 1,000 million bits of information in one living organism. And that information that is encoded in that living organism determines the nature, the growth, the development, and the death of billions of cells in that living organism. Now, who, frankly, in his right mind, could ever believe that such supremely complex machines, which is what living organisms are, storing and retrieving the precise information to service 1,000 million cells, diagnose defects and repair them and reproduce, all developed at random, by chance, out of nothing? It's absolutely idiotic. The big issue, the issue that is bringing down evolution, is the study of the origin of information. It's called information theory. Where did the information come from? Where did the code come from? It couldn't evolve out of nowhere. It's too precise. Wilder Smith says this: there was one great aspect of reality about which Darwin, and indeed every one of his epoch, knew nothing. I'm referring to the modern science of information theory. For if a primeval kind of amoeba is to develop up to a primate, that primeval cell will have to gather all sorts of new information on how to make kidneys, livers, four-chambered hearts, cerebra, and cerebella. As this one-celled thing goes, it's just going to have to collect information. From where? If the law of entropy is true, and it is, that matter is breaking down, things are getting worse, how can things be getting more complex and more ordered simultaneously? So he says, whatever it was that started the first amoeba, whatever inanimate thing started the first amoeba, would have to have collected information to make that happen. I'll give you an illustration, maybe help you a little bit. Have you been reading about the fact they cloned rabbits and then they cloned sheep? You say, is this an evolutionary triumph? Nope. You know what this proves? This proves that it takes an outside intelligence to do this. You can have a sheep and put him in a pen and say, mutate. Please, have a clone. Have a clone. But that sheep's not going to have a clone sheep unless an intelligence, a higher intelligence, in this case a human brain, understanding genetics, works from the outside to produce that. That is a classic illustration of why evolution can't happen. It's classic. Whenever we want to create something that is in the least sense out of the natural order, it takes an intelligent human brain to invade that level of life. It has to come from the outside because the information isn't in the code system. That's exactly how God operates. You can't have evolution. There, 1 Corinthians 15 says there's a flesh of animals and there's a flesh of birds and there's a flesh of man, and that's how it is. And it's all determined by the genetic code, and they don't crisscross and jump over those bounds. Absolutely ridiculous. I went down to the Sonoran Desert to go out with some naturalists and poke around under rocks and look at cactus and things like that. And I'm always kind of fascinated by the creation of God, and I've seen the desert a lot in my life because I've always lived in the West, or most always. But I was introduced to some things that were really amazing by these naturalists. You know, they turned over a rock and out came a little gecko, and they gave me the whole ecology of how they operate. And out from under another rock with a little pair of tweezers came a scorpion, and I learned more about a scorpion than I ever cared to know or could use in about 5 minutes. But I did learn one thing, that they survive by cannibalizing other scorpions, and that's how they survive. And it talked about how their sting operates and how they talked about all the details. Then we went over to see a saguaro cactus, and a saguaro cactus, there's a whole ecology in one of those things that's incredible. They think they live 800 years. They don't know for sure because no botanist lives long enough to see one live and then die. So, you know, it's sort of a guess. But they go through these incredible, this thing is incredible. It's needles crisscross like this because there's high winds in that. They're the only place in the world that grows in the Sonoran Desert. And the needles that grow out of them, as they do in cacti, crisscross each other, and that diffuses the wind so it doesn't blow them over, it doesn't snap them off. As they began to define the ecology of this thing, the complexity of this thing, how it retains water, and how it creates these ribs, how it produces an incredibly gorgeous flower at the peak of each branch once a year, and it dies burned in the sun. They took us over to a Paliverde tree, the tree with the smallest leaves of any tree on the face of the earth. And it desperately needs water. And they have found them, get this, with a one main root 300 feet below the surface of the ground, though the tree is only 6 feet high. Amazing ecology, amazing complexity in all these forms of life. And they were going through all of this and all of this. And then I jumped in and said, "May I say something?" And I gave them the speech basically that I'm giving you, you know, that every one of these living organisms in the universe has its own code. How did it get that code? Where did it come from? It had to come from a divine mind who made everything. Listen to this. When God created, He created everything and encoded everything. Just get a grip on the vastness of His intelligence. It's staggering. Everything demonstrates the imprint of God. And then Wilder Smith in his book likes to talk about a guy named Von Neumann, actually, scientist. Von Neumann defined these living machines, machine referring to an organism that's alive. And he said the amazing thing about living organisms, get this, is they are self-producing, self-sustaining, and self-repairing. That is what's known as a Von Neumann machine. Self-producing or self-reproducing, self-sustaining, and self-repairing. And he points out in his book that we've never been able to build a machine like that. Do you know any machine like that? Do you know a computer that has little computers? Do you know a computer that sustains its own life and repairs itself? How about a car? Do you know a car that does that? And von Neumann pointed out, if we could make a machine complex enough to reproduce itself and sustain itself, it would always be in disrepair because of its complexity. So it couldn't keep up with the self-repairing response. We've never created a machine like that, yet every single living organism is just that. Self-producing, self-sustaining, self-repairing. Is that incredible? This is the mind of God.
Now that you've heard from John, let us know what you think. Go to gty.org/audioblog and leave your comment. Again, that's gty.org/audioblog. Thanks for listening.